Thanks for tuning into Upward Way Podcast. If you're looking to be spiritually blessed, moved, and inspired, there is no doubt you are in the right place. On our show, guests recount their encounter with Christ and how their lives have been transformed through the grace and love of God. And now, please welcome our host.
Hello and welcome to Upward Way. I am your host, Marlon Walters. My guest today is a gospel recording artist, Noel Robinson. Welcome to Upward Way.
Yes, it's such a pleasure to be with you, Marlon. It's great. I'm in England and you're in Japan. And thank God for technology that brings us very, very close together. Isn't that amazing? So thank you for having me on your program, Upward Way.
You're most welcome. So I'm really excited to, you know, learn about you, your musical journey and everything like that. So what I'd want to do is to start, I would say, where it all, you know, began. Where and when did your faith journey begin?
I often have to say that my faith journey started from when I was born, because definitely, definitely my parents instilled in me from a very early age. But, you know, being a musician, at the age of six, my father put a guitar in my hand. He was a guitarist. And from then on, I was in love with the guitar. So music has been a part of my life. But most certainly at 8 years old, I got baptized. I kind of had the comprehension that Jesus was real for me. And I got baptized, gave my life to the Lord, and then continued thereafter, you know. And I've been in the service of the church ever since then. I won't even tell you how many years, but it's been many years. But God has been faithful. And the journey of life allows me to tell my story in music. You know, these are some of the great things. Yeah. So that's where it started, at the age of 8 year old. And I'm still trying to work it out. Jesus is still sweet, as we would say. And I'm still excited about the person of Jesus, Holy Spirit, and all that God does in my life. I'm in awe of it.
Yeah, it's really amazing. You know, you said you were 8 years old, and you say, how many years? But I'm looking at you, and I'm looking at a young person, full of life, full of energy. Well, so I guess it speaks to the blessings of God indeed.
I think that, you know, one of the things that's really quite... The irony of it is that my family have very youthful looks. So, you know, my father died last year and he was 93, but you wouldn't know that he was 93, you know. I've got a sister that you still think she's a teenager, but she's a big, big woman, you know. But all that, that's just genetics, I think. But I'm, you know, always excited about, you know, the grace of God. And worship, I'm a worship leader. You know, you describe me as a gospel artist, but I think my title would be a worship leader who happens to be black. So the priority is worship, but I sing the gospel. So in many ways, yes, the title is good, but my heart is just to see the people of God rise up in their worship to God and encounter the presence of God. And that in itself brings life to their lives. So that's what I do. I travel around the world leading worship at different events, and I write songs, and those are some of the things that happen. So I'm excited. So it keeps me young.
Yes, you know, the older ones, I'm talking about the grandparents, they usually enjoy bonding with the grandchildren, because they would say that it keeps them young. So I guess it's the same for you with music. Just for the sake of, you know, persons who may not necessarily understand the difference, you know, you said that you're a worship leader. So what is it that makes you different from others who write songs and sing?
The thing is that the terminology gospel, the terminology gospel artist or gospel, you know, gospel artist has several connotations, because anyone who's a believer who sings about Jesus, sings about the gospel. But obviously, in many ways, in the industry, as we call it globally, when they use the word gospel, it's not just about a style of music. Oftentimes, where I'm from, it defines the color of your skin. So you would not necessarily call a white person a gospel singer, because I suppose the racial profiling that happens within Christianity, if somebody's a black person, they sing. If they lead worship, They're not defined as a worship leader, defined as a gospel artist. But if they're a white person doing exactly the same leading worship, they're called worship leader or worship artist. So I make that distinction because in the part of the world that I'm from, I would say that the black populace is only 2% of the population. It's quite easy for the major, let's say, the white community here to look at a black person and identify them as a gospel artist. But I've been one of the few worship leaders who cross over, what we call crossover. I think you identify with it, Marlon, because you're living in Japan, and most certainly you are a minority. Okay. So how people define you sometimes is going to be by stereotype. Oh, black man, da, 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 where are you from? They might come up to you and they might correctly go, one love, Bob Marley, you know. They might come up and say that to you. And the truth is, you are from Jamaica. So you could identify with that. But if you're from Ghana or you're from Zimbabwe or you're from South Africa, then that's not, you know, it's not your true identity. So oftentimes in the worship world, what we've done, we've decided to try and take down the barriers that exist in the Christian music sphere, where an artist can be defined by the genre of music that he plays. But I don't think that we should use the color of our skin to describe our function. So I say I'm a worship leader who happens to be black. My blackness is very important to me. But what's more important is the culture of the spirit and worship that I believe that mankind, you know, I define worship as humanity's response to the revelation of Jesus. Now, I know that in a country like Japan, where English is not the first language, how they describe Jesus in the Japanese language is going to be different how we describe him in the English language. And there may be different nuances. They may even, you know, in some languages, there's certain words that don't exist, you know, words that we use in our English Christianity that don't exist in certain language. In actual fact, some of the words that we use in the English language, in the Hebrew, it doesn't exist. And it's only because they had to use an English term or a verb to describe something that is a verb, if that makes sense, or a noun in Hebrew. So in some ways, language plays a great part in how we define who we are. So we are all children of God, and I define it like this. I go, I'm a worshiper who happens to be, how about this, a black man. I'm a worshiper who happens to be a musician. I'm a worshiper who happens to be a worship leader. I'm a worshiper who happens to be a father. And you may be listening today, your worshiper who happens to be Marlon, you're a broadcaster or a school teacher. You know, you may be a worshiper who's unemployed. You may be a worshiper who is a mother or a daughter. Or something. But when worship defines you, what you're embracing, you're doing what Daniel did. Daniel says, I'm not going to change my name. I'm not going to eat the food that you give me. So you change my identity. And what we are really are the sons of God. And the Bible says, they that are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. And worship is a spiritual act. So the expression matters, but it doesn't matter. What really matters is what is your response to the revelation of Jesus. So, as a worship leader, in every song that I sing, I am presenting Jesus. I'm presenting Jesus the healer, Jesus the waymaker, Jesus the lifter of your head, Jesus your peace, shalom, Jesus your provider, Jesus the breaker of chains. Who is Jesus to you? The Savior, Emmanuel. The Bible says that he's the mighty God, Jehovah Sabaoth, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, your counselor. You know, we might go old school and say, yeah, he's the lawyer in the courtroom. He's the doctor in the doctor's room. All I'm saying is that this Jesus, I present him to humanity, whether you're from China, whether you're from Europe, I present Jesus. You don't have to respond to me, but I want you to respond to King of Kings and Lord of Lords, because he is not just the creator of the universe, but he's the God that is concerned with everyday life. So, as a worship leader, I try to help you bring Jesus and faith into your everyday walk.
Sounds wonderful. You see, I'm listening and I don't want to say anything. I just want to hear you continue. But what it was that actually led you or pulled you into being a worship leader. I suppose sometime in your upbringing, you realized that you had vocal abilities, but is this something you wanted to do, or is it just, would say, by chance?
Well, in the church that I grew up in a black majority church in the UK, the Windrush. You might have heard of the Windrush, where in the 60s our parents came over on the boat, the Windrush, and they started to form their own churches. So there was a moment in my life where God really spoke to me. It wasn't just a figment of my imagination. And what he said to me was, I was on, primarily a musician and in church playing. I was a music director for my denomination, Church of God of Prophecy. I was, traveling around the world within that context. And then God told me one day that I've called you for the house. And I was like, but I'm serving the house. And I was like, this doesn't make sense. But the truth of the matter is, I was getting ready not to leave the house. But because I was such a skilled musician, I was getting ready to travel the world and play in the mainstream. I call it mainstream, I don't call it secular. And this was the thing that I wanted. I'd been training all my life. I did classical music. I played in an orchestra. I did jazz music. I studied the guitar. I did rock music. And I thought this is what I was going to be. I was going to become what I do. But then here comes God going, no, you're not going to become what you do, because becoming what you do is actually not the thing to do. I need you to become who you should be. So what happens in that instance is that I ignore the conversation I'm having with God, because I'm going, well, I'm going to do what I want to do. And in the same breath, my father rings me and he says, you know how sometimes Caribbean parents car or parents go, I had a dream. I dreamt that you was in a room, and in that room I heard a voice say, I've called you for the house. I could not believe that my dad had word for word exactly what had been said to me. And then I realized that God was speaking. And then I asked God, what is it that you want me to do? And it was a few months later, I found myself playing guitar for a mainstream worship leader by the name of Graham Kendrick. And he wrote the song, Shine, Jesus, Shine. And I began to realize why God had put me with Graham. Because in my own church, the title of worship leader did not exist. You were a song leader and you were a musician, but the term worship leader did not exist. So we didn't have a place for it. And here I was, God showing me who my identity was as a worship leader. So I fully embraced it, started writing songs. My songs, sometimes in the world that we're in, you write a song and your friends and the people around you don't think it's as good as anybody else's song, so they don't sing it, But I decided that, well, if they're not going to sing it, I'm going to sing it. So I began to sing. That's when my singing started. But what God would do, He would, as the songs are being sung, He would really come into the place and really, really touch people's lives. So I realized that worship leading is not something that I wanted to do, but it is definitely a calling. So that was the main thing for me. So worship leading, it's a calling and it's discovered. You'll find out that your calling in life is discovered, because from glory to glory, God changes you. When I say glory, from definition to definition, He changes you. Just like us growing up, we were children, then we become teenagers, then we become adults. When you're a child, that's one glory. When you're a teenager, that's another glory. When you're adult is another glory. So the calling of God is a place of discovery. And I found myself operating in it. So that's why I say I'm a worship leader.
Yes, it's really, when I use the word interesting again, but because it really is, and as I listen to you, I'm actually learning quite a lot. So, with God's calling, and you said, He spoke directly through your father and gave you the very message He had given to you before. So, what would have been some of the challenges that you'd have faced throughout your life? And in the same breath, what has been your strategy for overcoming same challenges?
I said to you before that when the Holy Spirit began to speak to me, He said that I've called you to be. And we as humans always looking for identity. Somebody says, what do you do? And I see, Marlon, that you've written books and you are an author. That'd be one of your definitions or one of your descriptions. But I began to realize that as a musician, I would identify myself as a musician even before I'd identify myself as a believer. And I think that some of the struggles that I had was that your gifting and your ability and what you do, it's an extension of you. So the you still has to go through stuff. And sometimes, you know, in the past, I encourage musicians and people who are artistic that it's important that you don't become what you do, because what you do now becomes the source of who you are. And it becomes sometimes a difficult place to live in. So in my humanity, going through relationship issues, going through sickness, going through disappointment, living with anxiety, living with failure, living with loss, living with dreams that don't come to pass, losing faith, all of these things are human experiences that can condition us. And, you know, they chain us to a place. So I began to realize that my music couldn't save me. My friends around me couldn't save me. There was no saving in the mountaintop just because I'm having a great season in life. There's definitely no saving in the valleys. But the most important thing I found in every one of those places was Jesus. And I acknowledged him as my source. I began to acknowledge him as the supreme being in my life. And then it began to make sense that my gifting is there to interpret the calling, which is my walk in life. In the calling, there is a spiritual prophetic word that God speaks over all of us that brings his glory out. He's waiting for that word that he spoke over you to come alive. The Bible says to perform. But there is always the humanity that you walk with. And the warfare that you have is not between your music and how great you are, how great you can sing, but the warfare you have is between your humanity and spirit of God in you. That's the war. And it wars for the soul, because the soul is the engine of it all. Point the soul in the direction and it just goes. So if you point it to the flesh, it goes. If you point it to the spirit, it goes. And somehow I began to, as we coin a phrase, put Jesus at the steering wheel. At the steering wheel was this. I began to realize that the word of God was the thing that needed to be in my life that kept the thermostat and the temperature of my life intact. So even though I might have gone through divorce and brokenness and things happen, sickness and life just shows up, some terrible thing, you know, you might have gone through bankruptcy, you might have gone through, you know, times in your life that, man, it shook you to the core, and you sometimes can't even see God. But in the midst of the storm, like the disciples on the boat, the storm was there for everyone to see. They became fearful in their own strength. They're trying to get the water out the boat. In our own strength, we're trying to get the water out the boat. We're trying to find strategy. We're trying to find psychologists. We're trying to find counselors. We're trying to find therapists. All these kind of things. I'm not saying they're bad, but we're trying to find all these things to help us, because in our life are the schemers, are the chains that bind us to depression, that bind us to things in our life that hold us down, so we never become all that God wants us to become. And in the middle of the boat, they go, "Wait, hold on a second. You mean within the situation, Jesus is here?" Well, Jesus, you need to do something. What does Jesus do? He shows up in our lives, and this is what he does. He doesn't speak to the storm and say, "Storm, stop what you're doing. Stop this thing." But what he does, he speaks to the root, and he speaks to the wind, and he says, "Wind, decease, stop, be still." And this is what God does. When Jesus comes in, he goes to the root of your issue and he breaks the chains off that root. So you're no longer bound to the thing that might have affected you, that happened when you were 14, that happened to you when you were a child. You know, maybe you've gone through abuse, maybe you've gone through things that still shape the way you think or how you live, and you can't get free to live in the freedom of Jesus. And every time you break through, it's like an elastic band. You go so far and it pulls you back. My message always is that when Jesus is in the boat, when Jesus is in the prison, like he was with Peter, guess what? He breaks the chains. And where it starts is that we have to find this God, Jehovah Sabaoth, the warrior, the one who is the King of the host of heaven, the one that sends out warring angels, that sends out ministering angels, that's able to deliver us. And we say, Hosanna, the God that saves us. So I began to find out that this was a thing. And all God wanted me to do was know him. And all I do is use the music to share the testimony of what Jesus is. He's our Savior. He is our Lord. And he's worthy to be praised.
Yes, those are very important points, because as you started out, we become caught up in what we do and we think, okay, I'm this, that person. And because of what I do, I serve, then I should be immune to challenges. But you are saying, no, even when you are doing awesome things, challenges come, but it's about keeping your eyes on Jesus, surrendering your life to him. And it reminds me of what Paul said. You know, Paul said that in more than one instance, one of the things he said is that the carnal man is enmity against God. But then he mentioned that when he thought to do good, you know, he had this conflict taking place within him. When he thought to do good, then evil presented itself. And none of us are immune to this.
In actual fact, just to sum that up, is that what I began to realize is that the focus that I put on my situation is simply this. The focus is this. I use the situations that I go through to tell the story. I began to learn that as I began to read the scriptures. David does this. David says this, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And he can pause there and he can tell you about what the shadow of death looks like. He can probably tell you what his feelings are feeling, the fear that comes up on him, the anxiety. Oh my gosh, doesn't look like there's a future. But then he goes, you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So it doesn't say that God will take him out of the situation. It just says that God is with him. And like Peter, who walked on the water, the moment that he took his eyes off Jesus, he started to sink. But he could tell the story of, when I saw Jesus, I could walk on the water. I took my eyes off, I was sinking. What did Jesus do? He reached down and pulled me up. This is the story of our humanity. There's times when our eyes are on Jesus and we're walking on water, but there's times when our faith becomes challenged and we begin to sink in the stuff that could take us and consume us. But guess what? Jesus is still the Savior, reaches down and pulls us up. Isn't a God is a great God? Isn't he an amazing God? That's why we worship him.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the
far
peaceful
from the
shore.
Sin, sure. You know the song.
Oh. Very deeply stained within, sinking to rise to rise, but the master,
but the
of, the
master
sea
of the sea
heard my despairing cry. Let me pause it there, because I know you have an album that, you know, was recently released, and also as we are discussing, you also have a single that is released.
A couple of singles,
Right. So I want you know to share with the audience a bit about that album, The Journey. Let's say from conception to birth. And you know,
well, yeah, one of the things is this, at the moment there's two projects that are happening at the same time. So the first project is actually a re-release of a project that I did in 2012, which had been taken from me. I call it that. It was taken from me due to different things happening, and it wasn't available. But I was really challenged by the Holy Spirit that nothing that he had given me was wasteful. You know, sometimes you lose a pound, you don't go chasing, looking after it. You think, that's gone, let it go. But God began to remind me of how the songs are written on that album and the collaborations that I had. You know, I collaborated with Chevelle Franklin. I collaborated with Tim Hughes, the guy that wrote Here I Am to Worship. I collaborated with a guy called Governor Beezer, you know, a rapper who's like an award-winning. And this album was lost. And I'd been praying for years and saying, Lord, help this album to be released. And what happened was that this album came back to me. And the thought that was on my mind was, everything that the enemy has stolen, that this is the season for restoration. You know, God reminded me that nothing's wasted in my life, and every season of my life must speak. You know, I talk about the scars of the warfare must speak. You know, I always talk to people about I'm happy to follow a general into war that maybe have one hand and he's got the scars of many wars, because if he's standing, that means there's a victory. He's been walking in victory, and I can follow victory. And so this album was, you know, released in around 2012, 2013, and a significant album in my life, and I didn't want to lose the moments that it was sharing. And God allowed it to be restored back to me. So we decided, through my record company, Integrity Music, that we'd re-release it. But due to it was meant to be released last year, but due to the whole thing, we found that it was going to be released on the 6th of January. But that's in the middle of my new release. So God said to me that I'm going to restore everything that the enemy has stolen. And I believe that 2025 is the year of restoration. There's some things that have been stolen from your life, some things that have been stolen from you that you didn't even know that you owned. You didn't even know that you owned it. But I hear that the Holy Spirit saying to me that in this year, the believer is going to experience incredible restoration. And I know that because this album, Devoted, came back to me. And it's in the middle of, like I said, releasing a brand new album, which is coming out in February, called Change the Atmosphere. And in November, we released the first single, a song called Breaker of Chains. And this song, Breaker of Chains, as a first single, I wanted to remind the believer that Jesus still breaks change. With the advancement in technology, like me and you, Marlon, are able to speak across millions of miles, across time zones, with the advancement of medicine, with the advancement of technologies that are beyond our wildest dreams that we could only dream about, there are some things that technology cannot do. There are some things that medicine cannot do. And this Jesus that we serve is still a breaker of chains. And he will break the chains over our life. We want to remind the church that we need to speak that Jesus is the breaker of chains. So that first song release really speaks about it. And as I mentioned, the story of Peter in prison, and the church begins to pray and intercede. And what happens is this amazing thing. The angel of the Lord comes and releases Peter from the chains with the soldiers next to him, releases him from the jail and from the prison doors. And he shows up to the door where they're praying, and they couldn't even believe it. I believe that in this year, and this is my prophetic word to maybe someone on this podcast, that you're going to be praying for that family member who you think, I don't know how they're going to get saved. You're going to be praying for that friend that's so deep in sin. But you know what's going to happen? If this Jesus that we serve is revealing himself to Arabs who don't know him in the Middle East in dreams, he's the God that can break the chains of depression, the chains of addiction, the chains that bind us in a way that we can't free ourselves, but Jesus can. So that's the song. And January the 10th, we released our second single, which is the first single of 2025. And that's, in actual fact, if you're listening to this a few days later, but January the 10th, right, there's a song called Joy Unspeakable. Why joy? Why have we entered the year with joy? The Bible says the simple thing in Nehemiah: the joy of the Lord is my strength. If you understand spiritual keys, that as we've been going through the year since the pandemic, you may have felt weak and worn out by life, by the pressure of life, thinking all the stuff you worry about the future of the children, you worry about the future of your grandchildren, you worry about your future. In actual fact, you feel overcome with despair. You know, the Bible says that despair and these things won't shape us. I realize that if we take on joy, and joy is an oil, because in Isaiah it says the oil of joy for mourning. Now you may say, I'm not mourning, so nothing's happened in my life. You know, the enemy likes to put a spirit of mourning on us. So we now forget to praise God. We forget to live in the expression of God's joy. Jesus says it. Jesus says, look, what I'm going to do, I'm going to take your joy You're going to take my joy, and when your joy comes into me, your joy becomes full. That's what Jesus said. And I love this scripture when it says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is fullness of joy. So we decided to write this song called Joy Unspeakable, because when it comes, you know what happens? You can't even explain it to people, because they said, you should be mourning now. You should have the sackcloth and ashes on. You should be complaining about life, but instead you're skipping around and you're saying, Lord, your joy is unspeakable. And you know that old song, full of glory. At his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. I believe that we've entered a season of joy. Joy is not happening. Happiness is based on happening. If I give you £1 million or $1 million today, you will be so happy. You'll be so happy, but I can't guarantee that happiness will remain, because you might lose that $1 million tomorrow and find yourself in despair and brokenness and thinking, I can't believe I lost it all. But joy, when the joy of the Lord comes, it is the antidote for weakness. Embrace your joy and you find yourself in the strength of the Lord. That's why I said, water can come on you, but water will evaporate. But when oil comes on you, it's sticky. It's got that thing that when people come against you, they go, my gosh, man, you touched me. And the oil is still on me. Have you ever done that? You touch somebody, you know, like aftershave, you put aftershave in the middle of your hand and you shake their hands and they walk away and they go, I can still smell you. This is what the oil does. The oil comes sometimes in the crushing of the grape. You go through things, but when you grab a hold of the joy of the Lord, people come up next to you and say, boy, how come there's something about you that when I'm in your presence, why? Because the Spirit of the Lord is in you and it produces a joy that's supernatural. It's contagious. So that's the single, and we hope for the album to be released in February. We're excited about it as it goes around the world. So these are some of the things that are happening.
Wonderful. And the thing about the oil, as you said, you know, there's the residual effect. And so for us, when we interact with folks, when they come into our presence, we should leave that residual effect. You know, as you mentioned, oil too and water coming off. When it's winter here, you know, my skin becomes dry and it doesn't matter how much lotion I use. It doesn't really have too much effect. But when I apply the olive oil, that's really what works.
And, you know, this is the thing. The Hebrew word for the oil of joy is shasem sal sawon, which means an outpouring of rejoicing. And I believe that as believers in a world that is in chaos, the political systems aren't working. You know, there's wars, and not even rumors of wars, there's wars, right? When you look at the picture of Israel and what's going on there, and we look at the whole warfare around that, we begin to realize that we're in end times. I believe one of the weapons that the enemy uses is to take the joy away from it. And Isaiah 12 talks about, with joy I will draw from the wells of my salvation. We're saved and we're tired of our salvation. He gets us to be like thinking, I'm saved, but I'm still getting battered by the world. But there's something about when we, with joy, we draw from the wells of salvation. What is the well of salvation? Man, it's deep. For God so loved us that he gave. Jesus on the cross, he died. He was whipped how many times for our healing? This is the joy that Jesus talks about. I believe that the church is entering its greatest season, and it's going to be a season of joy. What the enemy meant for harm, God is going to turn it around. So I go, don't live in sorrow and sadness and despair. I know they're humanity. Don't let spiritual despair, don't let spiritual sadness come. But the Bible says, receive that oil of joy for mourning. And he goes, exchange that garment, the garment of praise, what? For the spirit of heaviness. And you know what does it? When we begin to praise God, when we begin to open our mouths and declare the goodness of God. You know, when on the tip of our lips is the hallelujah, even though we may have a bad day, but we can say, Lord, you're worthy of it all. Lord, you're worthy to be praised. Lord, hallelujah. I say to people, you might be driving and somebody cuts you up, right? And you feel angry. I say, don't have road rage, have road praise. Just say hallelujah. And you know what? I know that's hard, because that is an act of the will. Sometimes it's an act of the will not to want to fight somebody back or to say something back. But if you just say, I plead the blood, I speak Jesus in this moment, you just say, hallelujah, and walk away. I believe that God is pouring out his joy. Why? Because it's our strength.
The joy of the Lord is my strength. So there's one question that I've been meaning to ask, and this might be the final question. As you painted a picture of going through challenges in life, there are individuals who have, they have entered the faith or they were brought up in the faith, but life has thrown them some tough challenges, and because of it, they started to question, they started to doubt. So based on your experience, what would you say are the reasons people doubt God to the point where some of them have even given up on their faith?
I mean, the difficulty of our humanity is that, everybody that you read about in the Bible is there because of their obedience to a word. And let's take the Old Testament, from Adam right through to Abraham, Joseph, and all the patriarchs. Moses, we talk about Moses. There was no New Testament. Humanity's fall in the garden meant that we were blind, eyes blind, and we could not see God, we couldn't hear God. So God had to speak to men individually. The voice of God is quite interesting because wherever there's an encounter, there's an instruction. And our problem with our humanity oftentimes is that, I mentioned before about glory to glory to glory. We are given an instruction by God, but sometimes we run ahead of God. And when we run ahead of God, it's a bit like you go to a hotel and you go to check in, and they say, sir, your room is not ready yet.
Wow.
But you are insisting that you need to get into your room now. And they go, sir, the room that we've allocated to you is not ready. The cleaners have not gone to the room yet. They're in the room, two rooms away. If you can wait just a little while, sir, if you sit in the foyer, maybe you can go to the restaurant, have something. If you can wait a few moments, the room that we have allocated to you is not ready yet. But we as people go, I want my room now, to the point where sometimes they go, well, here's the key, but it's not ready yet. And you go to the room and you find the bed has got dirty linen on it. Towels are on the floor, there's paper, there's food that was left by the previous person. The room is not ready for you. And then you become discouraged because you want to sleep, but you can't sleep because the bed has not been cleaned. And then you get bad mind, as we say, and you go, I'm tired, so I'm going to go and sleep in the bed anyhow. My issue is that when God speaks, it's always the truth, but there's always timing on where God speak. And oftentimes as humans, we work out the end from the beginning. God's give us an instruction, we go, well, this is going to happen, not knowing that some instructions that God gives us have got nothing to do with what we're going. It's a test of your faith. That's one scenario. The other scenario is that there are times in our lives when I call it trapeze moment. I call it the trapeze because you're swinging on a trapeze and you've got to let go and fly through the air and turn around to grab the incoming trapeze. And sometimes in that moment, if the timing is not right, we find ourselves flowing in nothingness. It can be a frustrating time because now we've let go of one thing. I tell you what, this next thing need to happen. But you're in between. But I believe that if God has spoken it, all you do is walk in alignment with what he said. And sometimes you have to hold faith. I think about Abraham and the promise of a child, and his wife is 99 years old, and they're going, that dry up. I think about Colonel Sanders, KFC. He's retired from working. He gets an idea about seasoning and he begins to season chicken. Well, today in every country, there is KFC. I went to Russia, there's KFC. I went to China, there's KFC. And you know what? Every KFC tastes the same. I go, age is not a factor in what God wants to do. God doesn't operate by age, he operates by revelation. And I go, if God has spoken it, he's faithful to complete it. You just have to put your faith in the word. Sometimes there'll be a disbelief. You're thinking it's taking too long to happen. I should have been married by now. I should have had children now. I should have been this by now. I should have been that by now. But that should never stop you from having faith in God. Faith in God is the key, not faith in the outcome of what you dream. Because when you put your faith in God, you're putting your dreams in His hands. And if it comes to pass, praise God. If you're in the waiting, praise God. If it doesn't happen, praise God. Talks about a deferred heart makes a man sick. I believe that it's time to put our hearts back into the hand of God and let Him do what He has to do.
There's a nice gem that you shared previously, and I'm just taking my time to process it, because it's true, we'd like to impose our own virtues, our own values, our own plans on God, and we don't want to trust. And when that gets in the way, then we start to have problems. You know, as you said, you know, we kind of feel stuck, but we have to really learn to trust God. Because truthfully, I've never heard someone saying, you know, I should have died already. Yeah, oh, I should have had my this, I should have done this. But I've never heard anyone say, you know, I should have really been buried already. So we have to really learn to trust God and not ourselves. I want to say thanks, Noel, for taking the time out to share your story. It has really
Thank you.
been an interesting discourse so far. You talk about not just your musical journey, but faith and what the experience has been. And I know many persons would listen and say, wow, I would like to travel the world just the same and be on platforms and stages of so many different persons. But if you listen keenly, you would have had moments when life was not going north, it was maybe going south. So we have to learn to trust God. So we have been listening to Noel Robinson. Don't just listen, but you should go and check out his singles and also his album. But as is the case, Noel, before you go, do you have any parting words you'd want to share with our listeners?
Well, my parting words are in 2025 is the year of restoration. Everything that the enemy has stolen from you, God's setting you up to reclaim it. I believe that this is for all parts of life. And I believe that this year, walk with the expectation that Jehovah Jireh, your provider, walks with you. You know, I say to people that worship and music is really important to me. And I believe that as a believer, the encounters that you have with Jesus are important. Stay in His word, believe and trust Him. You know, trusting is not standing still and hoping. Trusting is continue to worship. It's a continuous thing. So I want to encourage you with that. Let the Lord have His way this year in your life, the year of restoration. Bless you.
The year of restoration. You've been in tune to Upward Way. Do join us again next week when we'll have another interesting guest sharing his or her story of faith. Subscribe to all weekly episodes on the Apple, AWR, Loud Voice, Spotify, Stitcher, or Podcast Guru apps. You're also welcome to visit Upward Way Facebook page. Click like and leave a comment. Until then, I'm Marlon Walters saying goodbye. May God
You've
bless
been
you.
listening to the Upward Way podcast, the number one audio production show for people who want encouragement and reassurance in a muddled world.